Hello, welcome to Flour, Butter, Egg, Sugar. My name's Kate and I'm the host of this podcast, which is all about home baking and it is recorded in my small London kitchen. Today's episode is about a really sweet little lemon loaf that I made, which had an elderflower drizzle and an elderflower cream served with it. And I'm going to be talking a bit about how I got on with that elderflower. And I'm also going to be talking about a couple of listener messages which I've had, which were lovely, and also some of the other baking that I have been up to over my Easter holidays. So let's get started. First message I had was from Millsy. That was their username on the blog, and they said that the orange blossom and cinnamon cupcakes look great. I've just discovered your podcast, which led me to think I should revive my blog. Realised you had a blog and it's lovely. I'm a fellow London home baker, although she's from South London and not North. It's okay, I'll forgive you. And I will enjoy seeing what lovely bakes you're coming up with. So that was really lovely. And thank you so much for commenting on the blog, Millsy. And I really would encourage you to revive your blog, because I think everybody should have a creative, pursuit if they want one. I think I find it kind of quite fulfilling to do the blog, even just from and the podcast, even just like for my own sake. It's been quite a nice way of trying out new things and kind of like documenting what I've been baking and what's worked and what didn't. So even just from my perspective, I can like go back at and look at what I've baked, and basically it's a lot more ordered than my own, than if I just kept notes and I can actually find things a lot easier. But also like, a few people have been baking from it and that's been really lovely to see as well. So yeah, I definitely encourage you to restart your own blog if you'd like to. I think it's a really nice thing to do for yourself as well as if you want other people to read it. And then I had another message from Lenny, which was by email. And they said, I'm very much enjoying your podcast. I've explored and baked some of your recommendations. When I read The Hobbit, Bilbo was missing his seed cake and I didn't know what it was. I always pictured a sesame seed dry shortbread. I made the caraway seed cake and really enjoyed it. Caraway, in my experience, was usually limited to rye bread. I've been focusing on sourdough and bread variations for several years. I turned to baking to get myself through the Trump presidency and the continuous attacks on immigrants. Now I keep going despite a ray of hope for immigrants in the US. I don't use iTunes. Where would you like us to rate the podcast? Very good question. And they also said perhaps you might reach out to the Flour Hour American bakers to compare origins of baking. And they say, I would love to hear you interview someone from a prior generation who talks about family recipes, church or synagogue, home baking books, etc. Thank you so much for this email. It was really lovely to receive. And I found it kind of amazing that somebody in New York is actually listening to this little podcast that I'm recording in London. And thank you for your suggestions. I completely agree with you. I have been trying to gently bully my mum to come onto the podcast, but she's feeling a little bit shy, so I'll continue to sort of gently prod her. But I think she's probably the best person for me to interview about that, because sadly none of my grandparents are alive. And My mum is an absolute wealth of experience when it comes to baking. She's actually a food technology teacher, or was before she retired, and she kind of got me into baking along with like just sort of my own curiosity and my nana as well. But she's a massive influence on my baking, and she's just very, very knowledgeable and would definitely know a lot about like things like family recipes and stuff like that. So I'll keep gently prodding her, and I will see if I can mine anyone else in my family or people that I know as well. And I'm also considering like reaching out to people who run other blogs. So thanks for your recommendation about Flower Hour. But I think it would be really lovely to try and get some more interviews on the podcast and talk to some more people about their kind of love of baking and what they enjoy to make. And in particular, I'm really interested in historical recipes. So I completely agree with you, and I'm gonna do my best to try and vary the kind of content, I guess, and include more interviews and stuff like that. So and also I just wanted to express my solidarity with you and with others who are kind of struggling for and organizing for migrants' rights in the US and else anywhere else as well, because we've faced a lot and are facing a lot of the same struggles here, particularly with Brexit. And I mean, this is not a political podcast, but, you know, I believe that all people are equal. I believe that people deserve and have the right to live where they want and also to live peacefully. And I also think that migrants have been one of the main like driving forces of food cultures around the world. I don't just think that, I know that because I read a lot about it. And without migration, like a lot of the what we think of as like classic national dishes wouldn't exist. So it's important in terms of food as well. So thank you again so much for those messages, and do write in if you have you got any suggestions, if you'd like to appear on the pod, or if you like have made any of the recipes and you want to talk about how they went. That would be absolutely marvellous. As usual, the email address is flourbuttereggssugar@gmail.com, and the website is flourbuttereggssugar.com. Just to include a little update as well about the website, it's getting more and more professional, and this week I've been trying to give it a bit of a makeover and a bit of an organise. So it's well worth having a look at it, because I've started to index recipes according to things like the key flavouring, and also I've sort of put a recipe index in reverse order of episodes. So it's kind of worth having a look at the website if you haven't already, and having a poke around and seeing what's changed. It's still under construction. I'm not 100% happy with it, and the like indexing I'm not quite finished, but still worth like having a look around and seeing what changes I've made. So before we get started in talking about the lemon and elderflower loaf, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what I've been baking and eating this week. So last weekend, I think I mentioned this, that I was making it, but I made laminated puff pastry for the first time. So I made croissants, I made pain au chocolat, I made danishes, and that was like surprisingly not that difficult. It was a bit of kind of like effort and organisation, But it was, it definitely wasn't harder than making normal puff pastry. So that was very exciting, and it wasn't, didn't quite turn out perfectly, but it did, they did turn out really well. So for example, the croissants were a little bit underbaked. And then the pain au chocolat and the danishes were actually really well baked. So that's definitely something for me to think about, how to kind of like adapt recipes to my oven, or adapt this particular recipe to my oven. But yeah, it was really, really successful. And in particular, the pain au chocolat were absolutely heavenly. They were just so amazing, and I think particularly because they were like fresh, just freshly baked, they were still slightly warm from the oven, and then the chocolate was just, I used a high quality chocolate, and it was like still melted, and it was just honestly amazing. So that really made me very, very happy. And I took those over to some friends, because we're now allowed to kind of like see people outside, well, up to six people, I think it is. So we went over to our friend's house and sat in their garden and ate homemade croissants and pain au chocolat and danishes. And it was magnificent. And it was also really lovely to see them. So yeah, so that was really, really enjoyable. I followed a Ruby Tando recipe, but I'll talk more about this and I'll write more about this in May when I do, because we're going to do a pastry month. The other things that I've been baking, so I burnt some granola quite badly. I was trying to simultaneously like write an application for something, and make granola, and I left it in the oven way too long because the timer hadn't set properly, so that was just basically inedible, sadly. So then I made some more yesterday for my partner, and yes, so I like kind of like experimenting with different mix-ins. My base recipe is always the same. I've talked about it before, but it's just 300 grams of oats, 50 grams of vegetable oil, and 100 grams of some kind of syrup. And I did just use golden syrup this time because it's the cheapest and easiest to get hold of, but you can use like maple syrup and honey and other syrups too. So yeah, that was nice. I made the one that I burnt. It would have been nice had it not been burnt, but I added 2 tablespoons of cocoa to make chocolatey granola, and I added some hazelnuts and some raisins, I think it was. Yeah, again, would have been nice had I not burnt it. And then the second one that I made was the one that I didn't burn. It was with some crystallized ginger pieces. And again, hazelnuts, because we just had quite a lot in the house, and some currants. So I look forward to getting some feedback on that from my partner. But I think it's pretty good. And what else have I been making? I've made wholemeal bread just to kind of like keep us going on the bread front. I've really kind of like fallen out of love with sourdough. I don't know whether I'm going to restart my sourdough baking. I sort of took a break from it because I was finding it frustrating. Maybe I'll go back to it soon. I mean, there are things I miss about it. Sourdough bread keeps really, really well. I love the way it toasts. It makes the most incredible toast. And I also really miss making pizza with it. Homemade sourdough pizza is just absolutely incredible, and we had found a way to do it at home without any fancy equipment, so it isn't as good as if you've got like something like a rock box or a proper pizza oven, But we had found a way to do it in our oven, which involved like a very, very, very hot cast iron pan on the hob first and then finishing it under the grill. So yeah, I might have to go back to that just for the pizza. that was something I've been missing a little bit. And then the other thing I made was some chocolate and hazelnut morning buns, which are absolutely delicious. And I used the same base recipe that I used in the cardamom buns episode. So the same enriched dough. And I just melted some butter and chocolate. It was 200 grams of chocolate and 75 grams of butter. I used mostly milk because that's what I had, but some dark chocolate as well. I just melted those together and then left them to cool a little bit. And then I spread them over my rolled out dough, rolled that up, twisted it round, and then gave it a second rise overnight in the fridge. And also, I forgot to say, I sprinkled loads of hazelnuts over the chocolate before I folded and then rolled them. And I also sprinkled some hazelnuts on the top. So yeah, that was really, really delicious. And there are so many variations that you can do. Like, I've talked about morning buns a lot before, so I won't bore you, but there is just so many variations that you can do with it. And I just love them. And this base recipe is absolutely incredible. It's so soft and just the crumb is so, so good. So it comes highly recommended. So without any further ado, let's get into talking about this little lemon loaf. Okay, so this recipe I got right on attempt number 2. I didn't have to do 3 like last week. That's quite common for me to have to do a few. But the reason why I had to do a second version was because the first version was just very lemony and you couldn't really taste any elderflower. So I dialed back on the lemon a bit in order to be able to have that balance of both. And so these are the ingredients. I have adapted this, by the way, from Helen Goh, from her book with Yota Mottolenghi, which is called Sweet. And also from a lemon loaf in Ravneet Gill's book, The Pastry Chef's Guide. So yeah, these are the ingredients. 3 large eggs, UK large as usual, which are about 60 grams each. The zest of 1 or 2 lemons, depending on the size of your lemons. I did 2 large lemons and I think it may have been slightly too much in terms of the balance with the elderflower. So use your own judgment on that, I guess. But 1 to 2 lemons zest. 225 grams of castor or superfine sugar. 140 grams of double cream, which is about 150ml tub. 75 grams of butter. I used salted, but you also would probably want to add a pinch of salt in addition, or a couple of pinches of salt if your butter is unsalted. 180 grams of plain flour or all-purpose flour. You could also use cake flour actually if you're in the US, so I'd probably recommend that because it's very fine. It doesn't exist here, so I just had to use plain. And 1 1/4 teaspoons of baking powder. And then for the elderflower soak, you want 90 millilitres of elderflower cordial, which is the same as 6 tablespoons. And then for the cream, you want another 150 millilitres of double cream. So you might want to buy a 300ml tub if you get those where you are. Or you might want to buy 250ml ones, whichever you prefer. So yeah, 150 millilitres of double cream and then 3 tablespoons, which is the same as 45 millilitres of elderflower cordial. So those are our ingredients. And for the cordial, I used the bottle green one. But I think unlike rose water and orange blossom water, I think the elderflower cordials probably vary a bit less. So I think you'd probably be fine using a different brand. So those are our ingredients. And we need a kind of standard sized 2 pound or 900 gram loaf tin. I found that these vary a lot, like even within the same supposed size. So I found one that's slightly smaller than my other one. I've got had one that's a black metal that's a bit bigger, and I've started just using that for bread because I found that it makes obviously black retains more heat than other colours. So I found that it made the like crust a bit too dark on a cake, but it's still good for bread. So I haven't like chucked it away or anything like that. I still use it, but I invested in a light silver coloured pan that's also slightly smaller, and I found that much better for cakes. And that's by Wilton. I just got it online. Yeah, but anyway, a 2 pound loaf tin, and you want to grease that really well and line it with parchment paper. And you also want to preheat the oven to 180 degrees C, which is 160 degrees in a fan oven, or 350 degrees Fahrenheit. So very kind of standard cake temperature. But for the best results, you want that to be very consistent heat. So you want to preheat the oven very well, if possible, because you will end up with a better result. I think had I had mine at a slightly more consistent temperature, I might have got a nice crack down the middle, like you would in a classic pound cake. But actually, to be fair, it did bake up really, really well. And this is a really good recipe. So thank you to Helen Goh and Ravneet Gill for their fab lemon loaf recipes. So you've got your pan prepared, you've preheated the oven. It's now time to prepare your ingredients. So in one smaller bowl, you want to mix together the flour and the baking powder and the salt. In another bowl or jug, you want to melt the butter and combine that with the cream and get that to a sort of like just warm or room temperature kind of heat. And then in a final bowl, which is the big bowl, you want to whisk your eggs and your sugar. Whisk those really, really well. This is the egg and the egg yolk and the egg whites, just by all of it, until they've like tripled in size and it's really, really foamy and frothy. Then you're going to start adding the other ingredients. So it's kind of a similar method to like a chiffon. I don't mean a chiffon cake. I mean a Genoese sponge, but it isn't really a Genoese. It's just using that egg and sugar whisking to get to sort of add some of the rise. Then you would add your cream and your butter and pour it down the side so that it doesn't deflate your eggs. And then whisk that in. No, sorry, don't whisk it in. Fold that in with a spatula. So fold in your butter and your cream and your zest. Forgot to say that. Then you fold in your dry ingredients. You fold in the flour and baking powder and salt mixture. And I would advise actually sifting it in. I'm not really a big fan of sifting, but I think I had one or two little pockets of flour in the final cake from where I hadn't bothered sifting. And I did notice that it was much easier to fold in the flour because I did sift in half of it, the second half of it. And it was much easier to fold it into the batter carefully and without any lumps when it was sifted. So I would recommend it here, actually. So you then want to pop that into the oven. That's pretty much it. So you folded in your butter and lemon and zest and cream. You folded in your dry ingredients. Then you pour that into your tin. You could place the tin on a baking tray. I missed this instruction, and it turned out absolutely fine. It would make potentially the bottom crispier depending on what kind of tray you were using. So I didn't bother, but you could put it on a baking tray and bake it for about 50 minutes. And I found that that was absolutely perfect at 50 minutes. A skewer came out nice and clean, but it wasn't too dry. So once the cake's out of the oven, leave it in the tin. And after about 5 minutes or 10 minutes or so, poke it all over, stab it all over with a skewer or something like that. And then you want to pour over your elderflower cordial. So if you remember correctly, it's 6 tablespoons or 90 milliliters. And you just want to pour that over nice and evenly so the whole cake gets a really good soak. And leave that in the tin to cool completely, because otherwise you might have some of the cordial running off or leaking out. And it's better to just leave it in the tin to cool so that you allow the elderflower cordial to really soak into that cake. So once you're ready to serve the cake, then you'll make up your cream, because cream doesn't have a very long shelf life. To be fair, we've been keeping it in the fridge with the elderflower in it because there's only a couple of us in this house and we've been gradually working our way through the cake. And it has been fine for a few days, but it is better if you can make it like just before serving if possible. So you want 150 milliliters of double cream, which is 140 grams if you prefer to weigh it. And then 3 tablespoons or 45 milliliters of elderflower cordial. This is, by the way, a recipe that I got from Ruby Tando in her book Crumb, which is absolutely fabulous book. So I've managed to use 3 different recipe writers in this little loaf. But yeah, it just kind of ups the elderflower. So I really liked it, and it made the cake, it just sort of like made the cake sing even more. So what I did here was I just whipped the double cream until it was at soft peaks. So it was leaving like a nice clear trail in the cream, or even sort of like, leaving the whisk marks in the cream. And then I whisked in the elderflower cordial until it was just combined. And that was it. And then all I did was like dollop it on the cake before serving. But yeah, you could be fancier if you prefer. You could maybe do like little quenelles, or perhaps pipe it. It's not the most stiff mixture though, because it's got a liquid added to the cream. But it is absolutely delicious and well worth making. So the big question is, was I sold on the elderflower? Well, yes and no. I think it complements lemon really well, and I absolutely love lemon. I think it added some nice complexity. It didn't taste of perfume to me, and I didn't dislike it. But to be honest, it's not my favourite. And actually, I think I'm more sold on rose, which is really surprising to me. Than I am on elderflower. But I did like it. It was really nice, and I've tried it on its own as well. Just with some water, the cordial, I mean, and yeah, it was all right, but it elderflower on its own is probably not my favourite thing, but I think with other things such as lemon, I think it is really, really good actually. So I think if you like elderflower, or if you're curious, I think this cake is well worth a try. It made a really nice change. The method was nice because it made a change from doing the like creaming the butter and sugar, which is sort of what I do in a standard cake. And it was a really good cake, a very, very reliable cake. It had a lovely crust like a lovely kind of brown outside. But then it was really nice in the middle. It was like very even bake, very good consistency. So really excellent recipe. And the thing I also liked about the elderflower, as well as the way that it goes with the lemon, or kind of complements the lemon, is it's quite convenient using elderflower cordial in baking, because it's this concentrated mixture already, and it's a syrup. So it basically acts as a syrup. So you can use it to pour over drizzle cakes in the same way that you would use a syrup that you'd actually made up. And then you can also, like we did, you could also fold it in or whip it into cream as you would with a syrup. So it's quite a convenient little thing to use in baking too. And I think it was a very successful bake. So if you like elderflower or you're curious, like I said, definitely worth trying. So that's nearly the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. It's been really, really lovely talking to you. Just a few bits of housekeeping before I sign off. So we've got one more week of florals for spring. And in next week's episode, I'm going to be making something with chamomile. I've got a couple of cake recipes to try out, so I will let you know how that all goes. And as usual, recipes are posted in written form on the blog, which is flourbuttereggsugar.com. Like I said before, it's been kind of improved, and I'm continuing to improve it as I go along. It's not 100% there yet. But well worth checking that out. And yeah, I'm excited to try out chamomile. I kind of started with the one that I was the most like sold on already, which is rose. Because actually I'd made a rose cake a while ago, because I sometimes I'm quite good at doing things in advance. Sometimes I'm not. So chamomile is the one I'm actually the most skeptical about. So you will have to tune in to find out whether I actually got on with it or not, or whether I think it's disgusting. But that's what's going to be happening next week. If you're getting sick of cake, don't worry, because May is going to be all about pastry. So I'm going to be talking about laminated pastry, rough puff pastry. I'm going to make something with choux again. I made eclairs a while ago, so I'm going to make some like cream puffs. Applying what I've learnt, so it should be a really good month. Oh, I think I might make a cheese pastry as well, so that should be very exciting. Really looking forward to it as well. So if you're bored of cake, not to worry. If you like pastry, then that's going to come up very, very soon. A couple of thank yous. So thank you to anybody that's been emailing, commenting, messaging me, really lovely to hear from you. And keep those coming, flourbuttereggsugar@gmail.com, or you can get in touch via the website. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. The links for that are also on the website. Join our Facebook listeners group if you're on Facebook. Keep your suggestions coming as well. Thank you to my sister Ruth for our jingle. Thank you to my partner Gemma, who's made a banner for the website and the Facebook page. So go and check that out, because it's very beautiful. Although I've not quite worked out how to like fit it into the website in the most beautiful way possible, but we're going to get there. And thank you very much for listening. Really lovely speaking to you today. Hope everything is well where you are and that you're taking care. And happy baking. Bye.